The following message, personal testimony, and church update was delivered to the adult Bible class of Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, on Sunday, November 26, 2017, by Pastor Mike Kirkpatrick of Free Grace Baptist Church, Chilliwack, British Columbia.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's a blessing to be with you, Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church. I send greetings from Free Grace Baptist Church on this American Thanksgiving weekend. We had ours a month ago. But just Mike asked me to share a bit about my life for this Sunday school hour. And so that is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to look at God's grace in my life, how He has worked, and He has been very gracious to me. So just a bit about my conversion. I was born to a Christian family in 1989 in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, to Rob and Janice Kirkpatrick, a loving family, Christian home. I grew up attending a private Pentecostal Christian school, but I must confess, even though I thought I was a believer during that time, growing up in a Christian home and going to a Christian school, looking back on my life, I realized that was not the case and that was not true at all. Some reasons for that is I very much hated to go to church. I hated Sundays. I hated being with the people of God. We traveled to different churches or attended different types of churches growing up. Primarily, my parents come from a Plymouth Brethren background, so very dispensational. So most of my grandparents and great-grandparents come from that background. But we eventually left that. We attended other churches like Fellowship Baptist churches and an Alliance church as well. So we're a bit all over the map, all these different types of churches, and then also a Pentecostal school. But thankfully, God in His mercy and His grace, He did save me at the age of 19. I must say it was not a dramatic experience, perhaps for some of you did have that experience, but others, perhaps it was a gradual process. It was more of a sunrise than a sunburst kind of conversion story, and mine certainly is that, more of a sunrise. And so, by God's grace, He asked me to help out with a youth group at the age of 18 at a church called North Langley Community Church, which would come to be my home church at that time. It's a Mennonite Brethren church. It basically is just an evangelical church, mainstream evangelical type church. So I was asked to help out with youth. And I don't know why I was asked to help out with youth, because I wasn't attending church at that time, but thankfully God knew what He was doing, and He asked me to help out, so I did begin to attend this youth group. One thing I realized very quickly is I'm supposed to be a leader of these kids. I'm supposed to know what the Bible says. I'm supposed to be able to teach them. Sadly, that was not true. I realized how little I knew of Scripture, even attending a Christian school, and I knew very nothing even of the gospel itself. And so by God's grace and in His providence, I began reading the Word of God. I thought, I need to know it and understand that. So I started Genesis and began reading all the way to the end of Revelation, but it was probably somewhere around Leviticus or Numbers, surprisingly, where I know in that instance God saved me. God worked in me. He showed me the reality of sin, which is what the law does, is one of the uses of the law, isn't it? To teach us of our sin, show us our need for Christ, show us the holiness of God and how we are to approach Him. And the only way to approach a holy God is through Jesus Christ, who is perfect and who is the one who died as that perfect sacrifice, that great high priest. And so He saved me around the age of 19, somewhere around, again, Leviticus and Numbers. Again, I don't exactly know, but God used the Scriptures, God used the reading of His Word, and used this providential experience or providential guiding to lead me to salvation in Jesus Christ. And thankfully, I was saved at the age of 19, and I was baptized not too long after that. Now, because I was saved through reading Scripture, I really liked men who exposited the Word of God. I liked men who preached the Word of God. And I must confess that the church I was attending, that was not the case. It was more watered down messages, more moralistic type messages, a lot of ethical demands without grounding it in the truth of the gospel. And I just was not being fed there. But nonetheless, because I was with these youth kids, I thought I should be committed and should stick with them until they graduate. So I remained at this church, even though I was a Calvinist. And I'll say that I thought I was Reformed at that time, but I'll explain more about how I became Reformed in a moment. But I remained at North Langley Community Church doing youth. I also played in the worship band. I played the guitar. And so I thought I would stick with that for the period of time, but I must confess I was not being fed. I was malnourished with respect to the Word of God, for it was not the Word of God being preached, but someone's own personal opinions concerning the Word of God, even though it was not the Word of God. So again, thankfully God in His mercy saved me by the reading of the Word of God and even led me read an early stage in my salvation or early stage in my conversion or Christian life to Calvinism. And so I did appreciate men like John Piper and C.J. Mahaney at that time. And I think for a lot of people, those are a good stepping stone from going from Calvinist to Reformed. And that was certainly the case for me as well. So that's a bit about the conversion. Now I'll speak about how I became Reformed, how I found Free Grace Baptist Church. You see, Free Grace Baptist Church is about an hour away from where I live. And so this is another instance of God's providential leading and providential guiding. Again, as I said, there wasn't a lot of sound theology, certainly at this church I was attending, but even other churches in the area as well. So I was hungry, I wanted the Word of God, and thankfully God in His mercy led me to a dear friend kind of a funny story. My wife and I, we weren't married at the time, but we were leading a small group, young adults group, and I was Calvinistic, so I'd be speaking about sovereignty and predestination, and one of the gals there thought, well, you sound a lot like my dad. And so she got me in contact with her dad, and we chatted a little bit, and he said, okay, well, there's this theology that I attend on Saturday mornings, bright and early at 6:30 in the morning, every second Saturday. So he invited me, I got up at 5 in the morning, and we drove together, rode together, and it was Free Grace Baptist Church. I'm sure some of you know Jim Butler. Jim was teaching the theology there, and so I met Jim Butler that first Saturday morning, and I was greatly encouraged, greatly pleased. Finally, here's sound theology, here's the Word of God. So God in His mercy allowed us, I attended theology for about a year, even though we still remained at North Langley Community Church. But then we eventually moved to Free Grace Baptist Church in 2012, about a year after I began attending the theology, and partly because we needed to go to a place where the Word of God was being preached. And as I'll explain more when I talk about the Surrey plant, there's a lot of people that are driving over an hour because there isn't a lot of good theology in the area, which is why there's a great need to have another church about an hour away towards Vancouver area. Chilliwack is about 2 hours, an hour and a half to 2 hours east of Vancouver. We're moving towards Vancouver. Hopefully in the future we'll see even another church planted in Vancouver as well. But a little funny story about how I met Jim, or the first interaction at this theology. So he goes, so I've been reading, have you been reading any Reform guys? I said, yeah, John Piper, C.J. Mahaney. And he looks at me and goes, they're not Reformed. So that's the first introduction to Jim Butler with respect to the Reformed theology, because he explained to me at that time that you can be a Calvinist and not Reformed, but if you're Reformed, you're a Calvinist, if that makes sense. So I was greatly, oh wow, and then a whole world was introduced to me about Reformed theology, the Puritans, and other good sound, what are truly Reformed theologians. Again, he had nothing against John Piper, C.J. Mahaney, but they're just Calvinistic. They're not full-on Reformed. There are other things that make someone Reformed than just the 5 points of Calvinism. So great God's mercy both in leading and guiding me to salvation and also to Free Grace Baptist Church. Now just a bit about my wife. My wife is from Didsbury, Alberta, little town. If you've heard of Calgary, Alberta, it's about an hour north of Calgary, Alberta in Canada. She came out to BC, to British Columbia, for university. We did not meet there, although we attended the same university, but we met at North Langley Community Church. So while North Langley did not necessarily preach what I wanted it to preach or preach the scriptures, I must say God in His mercy saved me there, and I met my wife there. So many wonderful things that actually happened there. God, again, worked through that church. And so we began dating in 2009. We were engaged in 2010, September, and then we were married in July of 2011. We've been married for the past 6.5 years. So that's a bit about how I met Jessica. And then just kind of moving forward into the career aspect or calling aspect of my life, of God's working in my life. Again, there's going to be pre-conversion stuff and then a post-conversion. Pre-conversion, I wanted to be a fireman. I wanted to say, I've put out fires, save people that way. And so what you needed, usually firefighters or fire halls like an electrical, or like a trade. So plumbing, electrical apprenticeship. So I began an electrical apprenticeship, because if you're in a burning building, you'll probably know which wires to clip and which wires not to clip. And so I began an electrical apprenticeship after high school. But I must confess, again, before I was a believer, I did not work hard. I was lazy. I took lots of time off. I didn't want to be there. There's something kind of sobering about the reality that you must do this for the rest of your life. And I had that reality. I must do this for the rest of my life. And so I wasn't a very good worker. But then God Almighty saved me. My convictions concerning work changed. He instilled me a better work ethic and even more content with my work. I was still involved with youth group at that time after conversion and still working as electrical apprentice. But I very much enjoyed the work. I didn't hate the work. It was good work. But nonetheless, I felt God was calling me to the ministry, calling me to the gospel ministry. And one of the ways that he did this is I realized I loved being at church. So post-conversion, growing up, I hated being at church. I didn't want to go to church. But there was a big shift. I think perhaps in a good sign of salvation or a good sign of God's work and assurance is to love being with the people of God, to love to come to God's house and worship him. And so that was the case. I loved being at the church. I loved being with youth ministry. I loved being with the youth there. And so after a year and a half of an electrical apprenticeship, I decided and thought I wanted to be a quote unquote youth pastor. And so I enrolled at what's called Trinity Western University in religious studies. It was a very liberal school, not very good when it comes to theology, but good in some of the more harder skills, exegesis, that sense. But very liberal, rather in the life and teachings of Jesus class. It really wasn't about the life and teachings of Jesus. It was about trying to find the historical Jesus rather than understanding what the scriptures have to say. And so it was a liberal school there, but there was nothing else in the area. There's nowhere else to go, really. And so I attended there, got my degree in religious studies after 4.5 years. Jessica attended there as well with a degree in international studies. And so I was at Trinity. I did 4.5 years there, graduated in 2013. So again, North Langley, again, it's God did a great work in me through that church. Not only is it conversion, meeting my wife, but also the call to the ministry was where it began. And even further was enhanced when I was a summer youth intern one summer. This was the first opportunity I had to preach. It was to the youth, but nonetheless, it was to teach and preach the Word of God. And I was young and dumb and probably didn't know what I was talking about, as I should know what I was talking about if you're teaching the Word of God. But thankfully, God used that to instill in me a desire to preach the Word of God. I loved it. I loved preaching. I loved teaching. They gave opportunities to preach and teach, not only in the youth, but also in the main services as well. And I loved doing that. So this is when God instilled in me that desire to preach and teach the Word of God. And one difference, too, with North Langley was, if you say you have a heart for the ministry or you want to go into the gospel ministry, they go, "That's great. Please do." They want to put you up right away as a minister, as someone involved very quickly. But when we began attending Free Grace Baptist Church, the Reformed Baptist Church, Jim was the first person to say to me when I said I'd like to go into the gospel ministry, he goes, "Are you sure? Are you sure you want to go into the gospel ministry? Because you need to think very long and hard about what this is." A very serious, sober warning from him about the gospel ministry. And so he gave me Pastor Albert N. Martin's call to the ministry. I listened to those, and he said, "If you can listen to those and still want to go into the gospel ministry, you're probably called." And so I listened to them. I greatly appreciated them. I enjoyed them very much. I love Pastor Martin's preaching and teaching. I listened to all his pastoral theology lectures. And even after that, I still desired to be in the gospel ministry. Now, as I said, Trinity wasn't the best for theology. And so Pastor Butler suggested that I should attend Westminster Theological Seminary in California and the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies. And so after as a graduation trip from Trinity Western, we went to Disneyland. I'll be honest, that's why we really went. But then we also visited the seminary. I got to meet Dr. Renahan and chat with him. And there was a lot of good things about Westminster that we enjoyed, and so I thought we would apply there. And so we did apply there. We worked for about a year between Westminster and my undergrad and Trinity Western to save some money, because it costs a lot to live in California. And so God in His grace allowed us to save money as we prepared to go down to Westminster Seminary in California. And so during that time, also that 1 year period of working, free grace allowed me to preach several times. Again, it was in infant form, seed form, a lot of things I look back on and go, wow, that's weird. But thankfully, God in His mercy, there was a seed there that the church recognized in its infant stages with respect to a gift. So one thing I appreciate a lot about free grace is I think they did the whole thing right. They tested me. They made sure I could preach and teach a little bit before sending me out to seminary. Sadly, some guys go and they haven't had the recognition of a church initially. And thankfully, God in His guiding and mercy, when they finish seminary, you see that they have a gift. But I remember when I got to seminary and heard that, I'm like, man, what if you go through 3 years and you can't preach or teach? You know, I don't want to say waste 3 years. Theological training is good, but I think you know what I'm saying with respect to going through that. So I really appreciate free grace. They really did a good job and have done a good job even to this day with respect to the church plant and for training me as well. And even the whole purpose of attending Westminster for me to move down was to always come back. I was never thinking about going anywhere else. It was always to return to help Free Grace plant a church. Free Grace has desired to plant a church for many years. And now they're starting to see we're seeing the fruits of that desire. And so it was, again, for me to go down to be there, to come back and hopefully plant a church. And so we had to began attending Westminster and the IRBS in 2014. It was a good 3 years of rigorous theological training, good solid theology. That was the reason we went, was the systematic theology. And they have great systematics down there. It was excellent. Really appreciated the IRBS as well. Good preparation for the gospel ministry. And they also have internships as well, where you get not just the theoretical, not just the theology, but you get your feet wet a little bit more. You get some more practical training. And so we did come back up to Free Grace for a summer. We interned at Free Grace. Again, they gave me more opportunities to preach, to be under Pastor Butler, learn from him. And then we also had an internship in Singapore about 2 summers, not this past summer, but the summer before, with maybe you've heard of it, Shalom Reformed Baptist Church, Pastor Wei An Yi. Wonderful, thriving Reformed Baptist Church in Singapore. It was good to see how a church thrives in a multicultural context, because that's the same. It's a similar situation in Surrey. It's a very multicultural setting. So it was good to see Free Grace and what they did. It was also good to see Shalom and how they functioned in Singapore as well. So a lot of good things about seminary, a lot of great things. I mean, it's not all roses all the time, but it was a good experience overall. We really enjoyed our time down at seminary. So I graduated in 2017, June, so this past June, and we moved back to BC, and I began another internship at Free Grace part-time with the view to being the main pastor at Surrey Reformed Baptist Church when we plant. And so came back, and I was ordained last week, so I've only been Pastor Mike for about a week now. So when you call me Pastor and I flinch, it's because I'm not used to people calling me Pastor Mike. So I probably won't. But so God has led and guided us. He's led and guided Free Grace Baptist with the whole process. Again, I really appreciate all that they have done. The sending, the testing initially, the sending, the internship, and then coming back with the view to planting, and then further testing me this past summer, and then also with respect to the ordination last week. And so that's a bit about how we have come to up to this point, a little bit about a seminary, just a bit about the current situation. So again, I really appreciate Free Grace because they began a Surrey Bible study in September 2016. It was going to be, it's bi-weekly, it was in someone's home. And the reason for this was to feel out if there was a desire, if there were people interested in being part of a church plant. So the whole focus was to find a core group of people, to figure out if people want to be a part of this, if there is a need. I think there's a need, but will people actually come to the Surrey plant and Surrey Bible study? So thankfully, we had a consistent number of about 20 people attending throughout 2016 to 2017, all the way so last September to this past June, I should say. Pastor Butler, Pastor Porter, and another brother named Howie Jones, whose home it was in, they led the Bible studies in South Surrey. I should say Surrey is about an hour and a half away, or an hour and 15 away from Chilliwack. So it's quite a far trek. And so this brother Howie, him and his wife and family have been traveling for years, every Sunday, driving out to Free Grace for an hour and 15 usually to hear the Word of God. So I'll highlight further the needs or why we need to plant a church. One of the reasons is because people are driving very far to hear the Word of God because there's not a lot in the area. So they began the study. They essentially went through the London Baptist Confession without going through the London Baptist Confession, teaching the core truths, what makes us Reformed Baptist. So that was in 2016 that began. And then I came back in June and we began meeting at a public location. We started meeting at a hotel. It's an awful looking hotel, I don't mind saying that, because we're not there anymore. But if you ever were to drive up to British Columbia and you take the Peace Arch crossing and you drive on the 99, it's right there. So we're actually really close to the border, not only the hotel, but the school we're meeting at now. We're very close to the border, but you won't be able to miss the big salmon-colored palace. So we met there for a while, and then now we thought it would be more conducive to meet in a school. So we're now meeting at a school. It's a great location. It's in a residential area, so I'm hoping soon to canvas the area with flyers explaining what we're doing and just putting a face to the name of what we're doing down there. So we're currently meeting at the school right now, and we are now meeting every week with respect to Tuesday studies. Some of the topics we've looked at, we looked at why another church, because there's a lot of churches in the area. Many people are going to ask, why another church? Like, why are you planting? So we did just a brief one-part series on that. And then I realized there's a lot of people who are coming, some from other religious backgrounds that believe in Jesus, so to speak, but which Jesus is the main question. So we did a series on who is Jesus, looking at London Baptist Confession chapter 8, all the paragraphs there. And then we looked at salvation, things, you know, justification, sanctification, defining what those things are, faith, repentance, and then glorification as well among the topics. And now we're going through a series on what makes us Reformed. Again, trying to not just the 5 points, more than the 5 points of Calvinism. So we'll finish this Tuesday our series on covenant theology. As one professor says, Reformed theology is covenant theology. So we have to have a robust understanding of what that is. So we're working through that. We'll look at Sabbath, the law of God, and the worship of our God with respect to what makes us Reformed and different from the churches in the surrounding area. So Lord willing, we'll begin Sunday services on January 21st, 2018. So we are operating under the name Surrey Reformed Baptist Church. We have the domain name. We have Facebook pages and Instagram pages as well. But we're not full of, we won't be a church, won't have services till January 21st, when we'll still be under Free Grace's guidance. But that's when services begin as Surrey Reformed Baptist Church. And we'll have an 11 a.m. service and a 5 p.m. service, and we'll continue our Tuesday night studies as well. And so we do have a core group already of about 24 people, 7 families. So that's really great, a good start. We're thankful for that. Many people, there's actually a family driving up from Blaine, Washington. It's only 10 minutes for them. So it's a short drive. So we're not just the people in Canada, but we hopefully get some people along the border towns as well. So they're driving up. So yeah, so that was the purpose of the study, is to feel out if there's going to be a core group of people. And by God's mercy, by God's providence, it's all gone really well. And we have established that core group of 24 people who've verbally said that they would be part of the church plant. There's been others who still attend that I don't know where they're at, where they will be, if they want to attend the church on Sunday, but hopefully they will. But thankfully, it's 24 people that will begin with the services on January 21st. And we've had a lot of other interests as well. And so, again, currently we're still doing the studies on Tuesday night, doing that series, What Makes Us Reformed. I must say again, pointing back to free grace, there's a lot of, I have a lot of good men behind me with respect to not only Pastor Butler, Pastor Porter, but other men who are know how to use social media, who know how to use media. And I thank God that He has given us some modern means that we can use to further spread the Word of God. And we certainly are doing that. We have a Facebook page, we have Instagram pages, and we thankfully are able to boost posts, boost things that we might reach a large number of people very quickly. And so that has been working well. Men who know how to operate those things. Again, I would have not even thought of that if it wasn't for those men being part of the media committee, wanting to volunteer to be a part of the church plant. Even if they're still at Free Grace, they can still help with respect to getting the word out using the media there as well. So we have Facebook pages, Instagram pages, and so again, the hope is that the gospel will go out, sinners would be saved, saints would be edified, and God would be glorified in all these things. And I didn't really touch too much on why it's needed, but namely it's needed because people live far away from Free Grace. There again, you know, we drove an hour every Sunday. This one family from South Surrey, they drove an hour and 15 every Sunday. This family from Blaine drives an hour and 10 every Sunday. And then actually all the families who are part of the core group would drive an hour every Sunday just to meet and hear the Word of God preached, because it's just not happening. It's just not being taught or preached in the area. And so it is a need in the area. There's really a lack of a solid Reformed presence there. You know, those who profess to be Christians, now that doesn't mean much, because on the census or how they get the data, it just says, what do you identify with? So, but those who identify with Christianity are mostly either Roman Catholic or Evangelical, but very minimal Reformed, and let alone Reformed Baptist. So we're trying to, people usually ask that, what's Reformed Baptist? You know, what does that even mean? And so we want to spread the word of truth, advance the Reformed Baptist cause in that area, because not only with respect to Christianity do we have Roman Catholic, Evangelical, but most people confess to not even have a religious affiliation. You know, most don't even profess to be a part of any sort of religion. And so the hope is we not only share the truth with those who perhaps might be malnourished, but we want people to be saved. We want people to hear the truth. We want God to work in the lives and hearts of people that they come to saving knowledge in Jesus Christ. It's not just about bringing in malnourished sheep or disgruntled sheep, but it's also about preaching the Word of God. There might be new converts. You know, Reformed people, some people perhaps charge us with not being into evangelism or not evangelistic. That's not true at all, because God commands us to go out into the world to preach the truth of the gospel to all. And He's the one who draws His people through the means of the preaching of the Word of God. So we hope that and desire that not only sheep would come, but also sinners would come to have a saving knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the hope of going around the area. That's the hope of the Facebook, the post that we send out. We've had a lot of interesting responses from some of the things we've posted. A lot of people are rebelling against it. They call us cults, and we have to deal with that very quickly, because that's not true at all. And so we have to deal with those things. So there is a need in the area. And also, too, there is, as I said, there is a large, it's a very multicultural area. Over 50% of the people come from a visible minority. So there's a large Sikh population, there's a large South Asian population, Korean population in the area. So the hope is, you know, we have hopes and desires that, you know, Vancouver, but I'm hoping too that we preach the word, God saves people, and it can spread further to other parts of the world as well. So those are some of the needs with respect to the church plant. Again, we hope that sinners would be saved, saints would be edified, and God would be glorified in this endeavor. You know, it is about Him, it is about His glory, it is why we want to plant the church is because we want the truth to spread throughout all of the Lower Mainland and obviously, hopefully, to the ends of the earth as well. So that's just a brief testimony concerning my life and concerning my conversion and how Jessica and I met a little bit and kind of what's going on with the Surrey church plant right now. We covet your prayers with respect to the church plant, that God would protect us and keep us and unite the group together, keep the group tight-knit. For I know I've heard from others that church plants can attract some interesting people. So God would bring us close together. And typically the people will be coming out of mainstream evangelical churches. So the hope is that, you know, God would work in them, show them, you know, the Word of God, show them the truth, that we're not just believing it because it's the London Baptist Confession, but because it's what the Word of God says. You know, we believe the London Baptist Confession is a good summary of what Scripture has to say. So we covet your prayers. We thank you for allowing me to be here today. And we pray that God would be glorified in this endeavor. Well, but before we have a time of Q&A, I'd just like to pray. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you are the Lord over all things. We thank you that you are the God of heaven and earth, and you lead and guide according to your wise and holy counsel. You are the sovereign King. Your throne is in the heavens. You do whatever you please. And Father God, we thank you that you are pleased to bring salvation to sinners through your word. We thank you that Christ came. He lived, died, and rose again on behalf of his people, that his people might have everlasting life. And we pray, O God, that you would continue to call your people out of darkness as your word goes forth. We pray that your word would run swiftly throughout all the earth, that sinners would come to saving knowledge in Jesus Christ, that they might know something concerning the blessed reality of everlasting life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would work by your Spirit, that you would work by your Spirit to convict people, show them their sin. You would work by your Spirit to comfort people, those who have faith, those who have believed, and those who are living the Christian life, comfort them, give them assurance and strength. We pray, O God, that you would feed your sheep as well with the Word of God, and your Holy Spirit would accompany the Word of God. And we thank you that, give you praise and honor for all that you've done at Free Grace, calling Pastor Butler up many years ago to plant that church in Chilliwack. And even now, as your word goes forth in Surrey, we thank you for this. We pray that you would knit the hearts of the people there together. We pray that you would bless the preaching and teaching as it goes forth there, that again, sinners would be saved, saints would be edified, and you would be glorified. And Father God, we pray that you would be with us this day in your house as we hear your word preached. We pray that you would open the heavens and come down, that we might learn more concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray that you be glorified now, in the name of Christ. Amen.